As we are going through the book of Ephesians, and we are on verse 10 today, chapter 2, verse 10. And so let's continue scripture by scripture. Ephesians 2:10. What a blessing to go through the book of Ephesians. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. You know, especially when we finish chapter 2, verse 8 and 9, says that we are saved by grace alone. Grace alone, that means nothing, no human works, no merit, absolutely no works at all, but by grace alone that we have been saved. And now here comes. Then verse 9 says, not of works, lest anyone should boast. So no works involved at all. Then verse 10 says, for we are his workmanship. And here we see here, and I see, when I see this scripture, a lot of times, okay, now verse 8 and 9 is grace, verse 10 is works. But I don't see it that way. I see verse 10, there's a lot of grace there. I see verse 10, the foundation for the works is grace. That's the way I see it, and I'm going to prove it to you in the Bible. I'm going to show it to you. It's a lot of things you haven't heard before, so I want you to tune up your brains in the Spirit of God and really think what I'm going to say. Now, even the word workmanship is poema in Greek. You know, it's amazing. As you know, the way to heaven is not through human efforts. It's not through any kinds of works that we had to do that we got to go to heaven. But the Bible says it is by God's grace alone. Now, grace was given to the believers before the foundation of the world. Now, all the believers, every one of us, were born in Adam, and we were all born in sin. Because we were born in sin, we deserve the wrath of God. We deserve the punishment of God. Because we have violated all the commandments of God. Whether in our action, or in our mind, or every different way, we have violated his commandments. Yet, God in his mercy and his grace sent his Son to die for us. And God is the one who initiated the salvation, and not us, apart from any works. That's why Ephesians chapter 2 verse 9 says, not of works, lest any man should boast. So there is no room for boasting, saying, I accepted the Lord. It's my will. It is I said a prayer, or I went forward. No I's. It all goes to God. He is the one who did the work by his grace. Now, when we see Ephesians chapter 2:10, when it says, for we are his workmanship created in Christ Jesus for good works which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. How can we reconcile these two scriptures? How can we reconcile in verse 8 and 9 says that we are saved by grace, and verse 10 says we are his workmanship? One being negative, which says we are not saved of works. And immediately after that, talks about workmanship. So verse 8 and 9 speaks, the way to salvation is not of works. Verse 10 says, the result of salvation is of works. The way to salvation is not of works. But once you are truly saved, you will see the works. When you see in context, the way to salvation is by God's grace alone, not of works. As the previous scripture is very crystal clear, by grace you have been saved. Now the result is the works. John Calvin said, all the good works which we possess are the fruit of regeneration, which means out of our new spiritual birth comes good works. Calvin goes on to say that this work is a part of God's grace. How can this be? How can this work be a part of God's grace? And I'm going to explain it to you. Look, verse 10 says here, for we are His workmanship, not our workmanship. That word His makes a big difference. We are not on our own. We are not our own workmanship. We are His workmanship. And this excludes the human will or the free will, and it includes God's grace. If we are His workmanship, that includes grace. When it says we are His workmanship, it does not mean, let me tell you, if you look at modern commentaries, a lot of people might say that it means the creation of God, that it means that God created us. No. It doesn't mean that. It means the new creation of God. It means His spiritual creation. It means of the new man. Because, how do I know this? Read it. For we are His workmanship created in Christ Jesus. There you go. Simple. It explains. So when we say that we are His workmanship created in Christ Jesus. We are created in Christ Jesus. Now, the fallen man or the sinful man came from Adam. We all came from Adam. We were in Adam before we became a Christian. In Adam, when we came from Adam, the fallen man, your fallen behavior before, we did not seek the things of God. We really did not seek the things of God. You really did not want to study the Bible. You didn't have any desire to go to church. Maybe once in a way you want to be a little bit religious. You want to show God, here God I am in my church, like punching a time clock to say, I came to church, and you're thinking that by your works you will go to heaven. Or you thought that maybe, I just want to do some things to the church. I want to do some works to the church. So God will say, maybe God will see my works so I can go to heaven. That's religion. That's not a relationship with God. But in Adam, we did not seek the things of God. Because our works were selfish motives, they were evil. If you turn with me to Philippians chapter 2, verse 21, Philippians 2:21 says, for all seek their own, not the things which are of Christ Jesus. That's a very powerful scripture. For all seek their own, not the things which are of Christ Jesus. Everybody else is seeking their own selfish gains, not the things of Christ Jesus. Absolutely not. The fallen man, the unbelievers, seek their own will, their own passions, their own desires. They live by the flesh, they are controlled by the flesh. And they seek the things of the world. The result is not pleasing to God, anything at all. Now, let me be fair now, okay? Maybe someone might say, or you may know some people in your neighborhood or friends who are unbelievers. And you may tell me, you know, I know some unbelievers and they are good people. And they do some good works. And they live a good life. And I see them kind and compassionate and loving. And I see them helping other people, caring, even for the needy. How can you explain this? Well, maybe Pelagians can explain that. Maybe a lot of Armenian churches can explain that. Let me give you the answer, a scriptural answer. Man looks at the outwardly. Man looks at the outward appearance, right? Have you seen on television, sometimes news? When somebody gets caught in a brutal murder or an adultery or raping somebody or something like that, then the neighbors come and tell, oh my goodness, this is my neighbor, he's such a nice man. I never knew that he can do anything like that. Every time I see the news, what I see is total depravity of man. That's all what I see, all bad news. So the answer is, man looks at outwardly appearance, but God looks at the heart. He looks the inward heart of man. Outwardly, we see people who looks very nice, who looks pretty sincere, but God looks at the heart. The Bible says our heart is evil, wicked, depraved. And God looks at the motive of the man. And the motive of man is selfish. The unbelievers, they seem to do good in front of men, but they cannot please God. And I'm going to give you a scripture, and we got to believe the scripture above our reasoning, because the scripture is true. Romans chapter 8, verse 8. Romans 8:8 says, so then those who are in the flesh cannot please God. Well, how simple that is. So when the scripture says something, oh, okay. So here we see the unbelievers. You know, I remember, maybe I may have told this before, had a boss who was totally an unbeliever, but he had a lot of money. And totally an unbeliever, he had a lot of money. He was worshipping Hindu gods and Buddhism and so forth like that. Not a Christian at all. So what did he do was he bought thousands of wheelchairs and gave to the handicapped people. And everybody thought, wow, man, this man is such a godly man to do that. It was in the newspapers. They were broadcasting everywhere, right? And then now when everybody was brought. Now the whole reason is you can see there's a selfish motive there for him to do that. Why? He's getting popular so he can get more business now. You see? He's getting popular even in the radio, newspaper, so now people know him, know some of his business, he can get more people. Romans 8:8 says they cannot. So they that are in the flesh cannot please God. Why is it that they cannot please God? Why? Because when God looks at their heart and motives, they are not pleasing to God. The fallen man will do works which help others, but the glory and the honor goes to man, not to God. The glory and the honor will not go to God. That is why it is not pleasing to God. Psalm chapter 29, verse 2. Let me read it for you. Psalm 29:2. Give unto the Lord the glory due unto His name. Psalm 115 verse 1 says, Not to us, O Lord, not to us, but unto Thy name give the glory. Yes, the unbelievers will either honor each other for their good works and give glory to one another, and they will, even some of them will say, well, because maybe some of them who are totally pagan will even praise their gods, their images, their saints. That's why Isaiah chapter 42 verse 8 says, Isaiah 42, 8, I am the Lord, that is my name, and my glory I will not give to another, nor my praises to a carved images. No, God will not give His glory to another, neither to a carved graven image. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 6, 1. You will understand what I'm talking here. Matthew 6. People who seem to do good works. Alright? And my answer to that is, because of course they seem to do good works outwardly when man look at man. When God looks at them, it's not good works, it's not pleasing to God, because from God's perspective, they do that for their own selfish reasons. Alright? It's not pleasing to God, and also from God's perspective, they get the glory, not the Lord. Now, see Matthew chapter 6, verse 1. This is exactly what I'm talking. Take heed that you do not do your charitable deeds before men, to be seen by them. Otherwise, you have no reward from your Father in heaven. Therefore, when you do a charitable deed, do not sound a trumpet before you as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may have glory from men. Assuredly, I say to you, they have already had received their reward. But when you do a charitable deed, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, that your charitable deed may be in secret. And your Father who sees in secret will Himself reward you openly. Wow. You see, Jesus, He knows the heart of man. He knows the motive of man. And He explains these things, what is inside of man, to show us the truth. Amazing, isn't it? The result is the unbelievers may do some good works in the sight of men, be honored by television and the media. They will all praise them. Jesus said they already got their reward. And glory and the honor goes to them. But from the perspective of God, my question is, how profitable is that? How profitable is it? Let me give you the answer. Jesus gave the answer. John chapter 6, 63. Jesus said, the flesh profiteth nothing. The flesh profiteth nothing. This flesh profiteth nothing. The spirit that quickened the flesh profiteth nothing. Turn with me to Romans chapter 7 verse 18. Romans 7, 18. 18 says, For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, nothing good dwells. For two will is present with me, but how to perform what is good, I do not find. You cannot perform anything good because there's nothing good dwells in your flesh. Absolutely not. So, but the Christians who are Christians, we are not in Adam anymore, but in Christ Jesus. In Christ Jesus, we do good works. Even these good works we perform does not come from our own power or from our own will. You know, especially the pastors, missionaries, and Christian workers, it is God who works in you. It is God who works in you. For His will, and nothing has to do with your own power or your own will. Well, let me give you a scripture. Philippians chapter 2:13 is one of the most powerful scriptures we see here. If you turn with me to Philippians chapter 2:13. Philippians 2:13. Paul said this. Philippians 2:13. For it is God who works in you, both to will and to do for His good pleasure. For it is God who works in you, both to do will for His own pleasure. Wow. Amazing. So, when we see in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10, that we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, that means it is God who is working in you. Now, John Calvin said in this scripture, let me tell you what, this is a very powerful statement he said. He said, let me quote, this, he's talking about Philippians 2:13, okay? He said, this is the sword of putting an end to all human pride. It's the sword of putting an end to all human pride. Wow. It is God who works in you. Now, how many times we hear some Christians talking of highly of themselves and saying, I did this, I did that, I was witnessing, everybody was hearing, and I was able to explain to them, and man, they were, you know, and I did this, and I did that, everything I, then they ask you, what did you do? Wow. Isn't that kind of, isn't that a lot of pride there? And looking at you and say, man, there's something wrong with you. I'm spiritual. You are not. You need to do something. And John Calvin said on Philippians 2:13, when we are taught that we are utterly nothing and can do nothing except through the grace of God alone. Jesus said, John 15:5, for without me you cannot do nothing. For without me you cannot do nothing. I'm talking about bearing fruits there, by the way, John 15. So my friend, by grace we are saved. And by grace of God, He gives us the strength to do good works. We are saved by grace, and by the grace of God, we do the good works. That means from the beginning to the end, it's all by His grace. Even the good works that you do is by the grace of God. And if you say, if you get a lot of high pride and say, puffed up and say, I did that, I did this, well, you already got your reward there, according to Jesus. So that's why, even as Christians, sometimes this flesh wants to get puffed up a little bit. You know, so we need to be careful. Turn with me to Zechariah chapter 4, verse 6. Zechariah 4, 6. And said to me, this is the word of the Lord to Zerubbabel, not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord of hosts. Wow. It's not our might nor by our power, but by the Spirit of God. Let me ask you a question when I think about this. How did David win the battle against Goliath? I mean, David, how big was David? How big was Goliath? If they really had a fight, who will win? Goliath, right? But how did David go into the battle? He said, "I'm coming in the name of the Lord. Not by his might, not by his power, but by the power and the spirit of God." You know, turn with me to Colossians chapter 1, verse 29. Everybody knows how tirelessly Apostle Paul worked in his mission work, in witnessing to people, going to different countries without computers, without modern transportation, without, you know, a car or anything like that, by airplanes, nothing like that. But he tirelessly worked. And how can he do such a... How can the apostles... Just imagine this. The apostles, including Paul, except Judas, 12 people, how were they able to bring Christianity to all of Europe? How? No computers. No telephones, no modern transportation, no airplanes. Absolutely nothing. And God chose not learned men. God chose fishermen. And these fishermen were not highly educated at all. They did not go to school. But the Pharisees, they saw that they were with Jesus. Unlearned men were able to bring the gospel to entire whole of Europe. How did they do? You see, if you think of their power, no way. I think the problem with the church today is a lot of things we are trying to do with our own power. Even with modern things, what we have, we want to do with our own power. I think that's the problem. God wants to do it just the opposite way. God could have elected the most knowledgeable people for the disciples if he wanted to. He didn't do that way. Or God could have sent Jesus Christ today instead of sending 2,000 years ago. Hey, we got the computers. He didn't do that either. But he did it at a time where people were very ancient and used fishermen to do that. And it shows all by God's power and by his grace. Amazing, isn't it? That's why Colossians, if you turn with me to Colossians chapter 1, verse 29. Colossians 1, 29. Apostle Paul said, "To this end I also labor," working diligently, "striving according to my working which works in me mightily." Absolutely no. Says here, "To this end also I labor, striving according to his." The word his, the word H is in big letters, capital. "His working which works in me mightily." Wow. That's what Ephesians 2:10 is talking. That's what it is. Grace was given to the believers in Christ Jesus before time began. 2 Timothy 1:9 says that. However, we were born sinners and we were saved in this lifetime by the grace of God. And once we are saved, the result of our salvation, of the fruit of that, is good works, and also that is by grace. Wow, amazing. You cannot take the word grace out. Absolutely no. That's why Apostle Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 10. 1 Corinthians 15:10. Where Paul said, "But by the grace of God, I am what I am." You cannot add anything. "But by the grace of God, I am what I am. And his grace toward me was not in vain, but I labored more abundantly than they all, yet not I, but the grace of God which was with me." And Paul said, "I work more than anybody else." But Paul gives all the glory to God, he says, it's all by the grace of God. Amazing. So all our good works comes because we were created in Christ Jesus. Praise God for that. That's what Ephesians says, Ephesians 2.10. Now turn with me to Ephesians 2.10. We are not done yet. Ephesians. Tell his workmanship created in Christ Jesus for good works. Then he says, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. The word God prepared beforehand, in literally, it means that God ordained beforehand. God ordained beforehand that we should walk in them. We see very clearly that predestination is not according to our good works, but good works are the fruits of the predestination. Because a lot of people say, we are predestined because God looks through the corner and see through his binoculars, that one is doing good works, that one is really good, so I'm going to elect them because according to their good works. That's the God who doesn't know where the universe is heading. He doesn't know what's happening. He is depending on us to elect him. That salvation is by man, not by God. But here, again, that meaning that in our own strength, we are not able to lead a holy life, but only so far as we are formed and adapted by the hand of God. Now, if the grace of God came before our performances, all ground of boasting has been taken away. Let us carefully observe the word prepared. On the simple ground of the order of events, Paul rests the proof that with respect to good works, God owes us nothing. How so? Because they were drawn out of his treasures in which they had long before being laid up. For whom he called, them he justified and regenerated. We see very clearly in Scripture that God chose us, the believers, he chose us in Christ Jesus, he ordained us, and salvation is by grace. The works of performance is by grace because he appointed us and gave us grace to us. Before time began, so we need to humble ourselves before God and walk in them. Remember, Jesus told the disciples in John chapter 15, verse 16, he said, you have not chosen me, but I have chosen you. And I ordained you that you should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain. So Jesus said, hey, you did not elect me like we are electing a president. No. I elected you. I chose you. Why? To go and bear fruits. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 21. If anyone cleanses himself from the latter, he will be a vessel for honor, sanctified and useful for the master, prepared for every good work. Now, it's amazing. God who justifies, he's the same God who sanctifies for good works, for his glory. And Ephesians chapter 1 verse 4 says, just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blameless before him in love. Wow. If God is holy, he wants us to be holy. And he is the one who chose us before the foundation of the world. If God is love, he wants us to be in love. And I'll tell you, everything, it happens by the grace of God. And now we can praise God as we can see ourselves. See yourself. See yourself how God plucked you out of the pit of hell. And by nature, you and I were the children of wrath. Therefore, we need to understand that salvation is nothing that you and I did to show God. Absolutely no. We have done nothing, and because we did not do anything, we don't deserve anything. But we give glory to God alone. And now we are governed by God. You are before you were in the kingdom of darkness. In a kingdom, there is a king. And that king, of course, is the prince and the power of the air, Satan. You are in darkness. Now you are brought from darkness to the kingdom of God. Governed in the kingdom, there is a king, and the king is Jesus Christ. Governed by Jesus, governed by God. So we are governed by God. And we receive the good works by His hand and by the power from the Holy Spirit. So Apostle Paul, he silences the boasting and the pride of man and gives all the glory to God. God holds all things, and we cannot even move without the grace of God. I cannot even take my next breath without the grace of God. From year to year, from month to month, from week to week, from day to day, from hour to hour, from minute to minute, we are indebted to God for His goodness, for His mercy, and for His grace. Wow. Amazing. So who gets the praise? Because Ephesians 2:10 at the end says, He prepared, God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. And it is pleasing to God. All the grace and the glory and the honor goes to Him. But isn't it still amazing that how we can think, how we can act? The means is us. Amazing. What a marvelous creation is. You know, it's like somebody is telling this, you know, how God, when He saves a wicked sinner like us, just imagine the most wicked, terrible sinners like us, when God saved us. And at the end, we think that, oh, I thought, you know, I did something. Absolutely no. It was all by God's grace. And we give all the glory to God for what He has done. This is the difference between Christianity and all the other religions. Because we know that He is our Creator. And we are created beings. And we are just the dust of the earth. And just out of the dust of the earth, He made a marvelous creation. Wow. And if God wanted to, He could have created us and just left us there. You know? And then where would be grace be? There won't be any grace. So there is no way that we can go to heaven on our own. Just imagine, if Adam was able to be obedient to God's will, obedient to God's commandment, when God told, do not eat from this tree, fruit of the tree, and if Adam was able to do that, and if Satan came and deceived even Adam, and they were able to say no to Satan, where would grace be? There is no grace then. But after that, everything is of grace, we spoke. Jesus did the works of righteousness. That's what's required by God. The Ten Commandments, all the commandments were given to man to obey everything. But we couldn't. But Jesus fulfilled all the commandments. He did the righteousness of God. We violated all the commandments of God. But Jesus came and satisfied the Father with His works on the cross. And we go to heaven through the righteousness of Christ alone, nothing else. Let's pray. Father, we praise you. We thank you, Lord, for the time that you have given us for us to comprehend, to understand your word, Lord. We thank you, Lord God Almighty, that you have given us the Spirit so that we are able to understand. Thank you, Father, for the word of God that makes sense. Thank you, Lord, for the power of God and by the grace of God, Lord, to show that even everything what we do, Lord, is by your grace alone, Lord. And we saw that, we have seen that in Scripture, how King Nebuchadnezzar said, all these kingdoms and everything I prepared by my own power. God, we saw the next day, you humbled himself and he ate grass like a cow for 7 years to show who is in control. God is in control, not man. At the end, King Nebuchadnezzar realized that it is God, sovereign God. He can do anything he wants to, and all the glory goes to him. We cannot do anything if not for your grace. Father, we praise you. We ask, Lord, that you would humble each one of us with the lessons we learned, Lord. All the good works that we do, what you have given us to do, Lord. That we will give glory to you, Lord. Not to us, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, you can stand and sing this last hymn.